Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hameen, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invites you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
With God's name, the merciful benefactor, merciful redeemer. Welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We had a little technical delay there, and we apologize to you, our listeners. We want to continue our talk on El-Islam's position on slavery. El-Islam's position on slavery. You know, we've been witnessing an upsurge in information being given about our religion that is really missing the Muslim touch. We haven't addressed, I should say, this topic thoroughly. We know our imam has spoken on it. Imam Waqi Muhammad may Allah give him a high state in paradise. He has spoken on the topic many occasions, and we hope to share some of his information on the topic. But I won't challenge our listeners to share with us any publications that maybe have the spirit of our community in it, just authentic information on Al-Islam's position on slavery. And I think it's a topic that really needs to be addressed. And we are attempting to do a small portion of that on this program. To just bring some bring educational information about Al-Islam's position on slavery, the religion of Al-Islam's position on slavery, from the Quran and Sunnah, Imam Muhammad's tafsir and commentary as well. So welcome again. We beseech Allah with Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. We witness there's no Lord or creator worthy of worship except Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, highly glorified is he. And who has created everything. As Allah mentions it about himself, kulli shay, the creator of everything. So there's nothing that exists, that has existence, that hasn't been allowed or caused by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the highly glorified is he. So welcome again to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We want to invite our associate and regular contributor to the programming, Professor Rabbani Muhammad, and we have Michael Amin also here. And Professor Rabbani, please, salamu alaikum to you and welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty.
Salaamu alaikum.
Well, alaikum as-salam. We want to invite you to kick us off on this discussion today, and we'll get started, inshallah.
God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, witness that there is no God worthy of worship. You created the heavens and the earth and all that's in between. You created the highest form His creation, the man, the human being, and gave the human being a moral life and direction, and bestowed upon that human being the term Khalifa. And we thank Allah for the model human being of Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, the Quran that explained and lived, practiced. And we thank Allah for our leadership in America, the Imam Ali Muhammad, his father, Mother Elijah Muhammad, Sister Clara Muhammad, the Prophet Muhammad. May Allah forgive him of his sins and grant him the highest level of paradise.
I mean.
We look at, you know, this issue of slavery. Most people in America and African Americans and many people outside of America look at that. We have to look at its origin and the method, and knowing that, number one, every human being is born free and endowed with God-given rights. So, male and female. So how did it get out of kelter? Because of the material appetites. You see, slavery, you automatically dress economics. Economics, and it was the means in which one segment of the world society came into power. And the way they came into power is through the enslavement of the
type of people that was needed to perform the work would generate income and wealth for that group of people, monarchs. Kingdoms and dynasties were developed through that system of economics. And then we know that here comes Al-Islam. Al-Islam, we were given five principles to live by. Al-Islam is a comprehensive way of life that brings dignity to every human life, dignity not only to the human life, but also to the animal life and the environment. In order for the human beings to live together, when Al-Islam came into being, slavery was running rampant all over the world. Muhammad the Prophet received revelation concerning these particular aspects of enslavement. Allah revealed the Quran methodologies to, first of all, alleviate things. Alleviates enslavement, the human being, the enslavement of his mind and his soul, to dignity and mercy, people who find themselves in those situations and have a method alleviating and to freeing people who are under the realm of these we call money hungry, grabbing, monarchs, their companions. And Allah shows us in the Quran how Muslims should alleviate and free slaves through practice of righteousness. That practice comes with one of the pillars, and I think the strongest pillar, zakat. When zakat gives a solution to the emancipation or the emancipation of the slave by being a true believer, you want to please Allah. By pleasing Allah, you seek to free a slave. Now, the term slave and servant is utilized in terms of the term ibadah. That term, he says, when Allah says, you will not come to him unless you come as a servant. Now, does that mean to some people they translate it slave? We always say that we try to be a slave of God. God says, no, you come to me as a servant. Because the term slave has become so detrimental, so psychologically a hindrance to understanding the solution that Allah has prescribed Muslims to eliminate slavery, and do it gradually, because the whole economic world system was based upon slavery. Even today, yeah, have more slaves now than ever before in history. A slave to debt, slave to material appetites, fun life, the spirit of fun. Look at the on the weekends, everybody's enslaved to sporting events, spending money that they don't have. So when we look at slavery in the past, during the slaves, when African, what we call this transatlantic slavery, see that slavery was, a lot of Muslims were taken as slaves. And when we look at our religion of Al-Islam,
we see the method of freeing slaves through righteous behavior. If you give zakat, or the freeing of a slave, is the highest form of the, in terms of zakat and other alleviating your sins.
Yeah, it's called repentance. Yeah, repentance, yes. So, alhamdulillah.
Mercy.
Thank you. You know, I was thinking as you were talking, Professor, about how our military and captives of war contributed so much to that institution. And let's go to Michael, and then we'll circle back and have some discussions on other ways or forms of slavery, how people got enslaved, which you mentioned earlier, in the economic, as an economic tool. So please share some comments with us, if you would.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. I hope you can't, well, you may hear some maintenance work going on outside of my window.
They're doing now some pretty quiet.
Okay,
it
good.
Sounds pretty quiet, yeah.
Good. I want to say, first of all, that Jews, Christians, Muslims, all have individuals that are renegades in terms of following what is purported to be the guidance for those three Abrahamic faith religions and others. This idea of not following guidelines is something common to human beings. I want to get that out of the way first. Next, God uses the language that his ibadah, the worshipers, that we're all slaves. And that's kind of like a shock treatment language, that terminology, because those who have slaves, they don't consider themselves to be slaves. They consider themselves to be masters. So Allah identifies himself as the master, you know, the one over all that he has created, and that they all are dependent. Everything God has created is dependent upon him. So this is the humble, these folks that have control over other people's lives. God says, you're all my slaves. And then further, Prophet Muhammad, in terms of the elimination of slavery as it's been practiced, and we have to stop and say that in the Western world, in America, chattel slavery was the worst form of slavery that the world had ever known, because, you know, we read about in Scripture the slavery of the Jews, and that the males were killed and the females were saved in terms of the harshness of this treatment of them in slavery. But you have in chattel slavery in America, you have a people's whole identity emptied out and then poured into them servitude and the focus of serving the interests of others, and don't even consider your interests. You know, you don't have any interests anymore. Your interest is to serve my will, my plan. You know, I'm the Lord over you. I'm the master. So that had never been done. And you've got this narrative now to try to minimize the savagery of Western chattel slavery, you know, and you hear ridiculous kinds of statements being made about how slavery was good for the former Africans, now the Negroes in slavery. Because of it was shameful. Frederick Douglass spoke to it you know, that the behavior heaped upon his people was the behavior that would shame us, a savage people, a nation of savages. And lastly, I want to say that this challenging of the idea of slavery, and I think it's problematic, and that's why it's not brought, oftentimes not brought up, that Booker T. Watt, pardon me, Benjamin Banneker, whose grandmother was a Caucasian indentured servant, who after serving her time as an indentured servant, she took advantage of land, and she got land, worked that land, produced a crop, took the monies and got more land and purchased two slaves. One of them she married. That's where the problematic issue comes in.
Yeah.
And Benjamin Banneker is the one who wrote to Thomas Jefferson, the writer of those elegant words of, you know, the Declaration of Independence, you know, these truths that are self-evident truths, that all men are created equal. That language, Benjamin Banneker challenged, because it was, you know, you say it's good for you, Mr. Secretary of State Thomas Jefferson, but you relegated slavery of the worst kind to my people. And that this is recorded in the Maryland Historical Society. These letters of Jefferson and Banneker are going back and forth. Stop there.
Yeah, thank you. We're gonna take a quick break here for a pause for the calls for some important messages, and then we're going to get back on this very, very worthy topic, very interesting topic. I think that has been neglected a little too much from our perspective, from the Muslim perspective. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected. We'll be right back.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain of Nation is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports the healthy immune system. Give the body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Sewer Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
Join us for Muslim American Power 5 on Mondays, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That's Muslim American Power 5, referred to as MAP5, featuring Sister Amatullah Sabri, Sister Cheryl Sadi, and Brother Fleming Alamein. That's Monday, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, for MAP, Muslim American Power 5.
Very, very interesting PSA that I'd like to just mention, too. Brother Freeman is also on that American Coalition for Good Governance. And I would like for us to take a look at that platform that was put together, and I haven't seen it recently, but I did review it when I did have the ability to do that, and it's an excellent platform that Imam Muhammad even approved was acceptable to our Imam, the American Coalition for Good Government. You know, we have those four birds: education, business and economics, culture and governance. And American Coalition for Good Governance is an excellent model for us. I think, you know, we have kind of neglected culture and governance in these four birds, and we want to call our attention to giving more attention to these things. Culture is what we are looking at now, how to discern and get information out to our public to improve the social cultural life of our public. This is why we are addressing this topic here, sharing some education on the topic of slavery from El Islam's perspective on slavery. So, Professor, we're going to circle back to you. Michael, we don't have any callers in the queue, do we?
We have two.
Okay, well, let's go to our callers and get our callers in. Callers, please state your name and where you're calling from. First caller.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana. Praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Our Creator gave us revelation. We can have common sense about our dealings out here in the environment. And also, we thank you to Allah for the example of Prophet Muhammad and his fair dealing and his, the way he went about conducting himself as a leader, politician, and warrior. So, alhamdulillah. You know, when you look at the sport and play of this world, you have two people. You have boxing. You have football. I'm just going to use those two, but many other games. You got two people savagely breaking up each other, beating up each other, tackling each other. And then yet and all, people are into that. Is that kind of behavior? Then a person could get traded to another league, or you could have another promoter. And these things are going on, and you'll still be sitting down at home watching that kind of stuff. And other people out there watching that stuff. They're making big money off the fashion, the jersey, the pants, you know, you name it, and they're out there and they're doing that. Then you have the entertainment industry. They just raping and killing the spirit of other children. The way they dress, their style, their language, their mentality, the way they go about taking care of their business. Men walking around here wearing Pee Wee Herman suits. Yeah, you have a suit one color and the shoes brown. And they taking, they bouncing the children around. But I looking on the weather, people who do the things on the weather, they dressing like that too. That's sick. So we look at the fact that sport and play have to be really examined, look at, and we have to do it. We don't want to set up in a house without the children watching that kind of stuff. We don't want to be going to the different places and buying these different types of $800 throwback tennis, all kind of crazy stuff. So just the fact that the people that's in these different sport and play arenas, they are treated like slaves because why are they auctioning off to different to one another? They do trade offs to each other. So we have to be very aware of the sport and play. And alhamdulillah, we pray Allah that spirit that following that hip hop entertainment world, do our best to keep our children out of that. And inshallah, yeah. You know, as a community, we'll be just fine. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam. Thank you, Bilal. Professor, would you care to comment on some of those issues that Bilal brought up before we go to our next caller?
What I would like to make a connection, since Bilal is in Louisiana, and Louisiana is right next to Mississippi, I just wanted to make a note of the fact that Mississippi just ratified the 13th Amendment 2010. The 13th Amendment, if those who look up the 13th, I suggest that people look up the 13th Amendment and see impact and the hatefulness that people still infected by them not having the ability to own slaves to make money. That's one of the biggest problems. Today's government, they don't realize it, but that's what they are talking about, make America great again. Them.
Mm-hmm.
So when you talk about slavery has arbitrary types of human behavior patterns because of the wealth that's generated by devising a method of enslavement, knowing and subliminal. You have slaves who are, there are still people in impoverished areas of the United States and cities that are almost held in place in order to work. And you have cruel method of taking people's, what we call human trafficking throughout the whole world. See, most people don't realize that there are over 30 million people still in enslavement today. You have almost 20 million children enslaved today of Africa and Asia. And most people don't understand that al-Islam came to eliminate enslavement gradually through mercy, compassion. Khalifa Omar was known to free over 1,000 slaves during his lifetime. There was another brother who was I had known or read about who freed almost 30,000. And that because of the edict in al-Islam, in terms of being righteous, gaining Allah's favor, and having a mercy upon the human beings that Allah created, and that when he was told that whoever frees the slave, in the Quran it said, whoever frees the slave, I will free him from that punishment that might occur in his life and in the hereafter. So,
yeah.
See, Islam was a remedy. Look what happened. When the lifetime of the Prophet, before the lifetime of the Prophet, slavery was rampant. After Quran came, countries throughout the world began to eliminate slavery through legislation. For the 19th century, and on, and that's the idea of gradually weaning off people's appetites to want to enslave people to for dignity that they deserve as human beings God created.
Yeah. So, Professor, hold that thought there. We thank you for that. I guess I'm highlighting from what you've said there that the first inclination for the idea of freeing slaves can be found in the Quran and that in the religion of al-Islam. I appreciate that very much. Let's go to our caller, Michael, please. caller, state your name and where you're calling from. Welcome to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty.
Alhamdulillah, this is Kareem Hanid. Alhamdulillah, calling in on a very important topic, slavery. Almighty God has said, to oppress a human being is worse than outright slaughter, and outright just killing him. To oppress the content of the human being. Imam Muhammad have shared with us, he says the word abd, never referred to slavery as we understand it. Abd means servant of Allah. Allah even withholds oppression from himself. Allah has given the human being free will. He will not force the human being to accept him or the sacred way of life, that the human being should utilize his free will to become a servant of Almighty God, Allah. We know the slave had no freedom. He had no freedom to make decisions for himself. Allah have informed us, highly praised be he, that he created men and jinn for my worship. And that worship is contingent upon the free will of the individual. Allah rejects oppression even for himself. So the connotation that has been given to slavery now is a very cruel, inhumane application for the master, that the slave can be mistreated. He has no control over his own life. But praise be to Allah, Prophet Muhammad have shared with us, through the blessings of Almighty God, Allah, highly praised be he, and we pray the prayers and the peace upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad, that your servant should eat the same food that you eat, that your servant should wear the same grade of clothing that you wear. He should be housed in comparable dwellings such as yourself. And if the servant is given a task that is too hard on him or too heavy, that the one that that is over him should help him with that task. So those things eliminate the misuse, praise be to Allah, the misuse of the human being, that we are servants of Allah. So I'll stop right there, my brother. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you, Imam, for sharing. Appreciate it very much. Yeah, so Michael, do you have any other
caller?
Okay,
yes,
call
sir, we have
name, where are you calling from?
Yeah, assalamu alaikum, Brother Muhammad from the Prophet Muhammad by way of Columbus, Georgia.
Sir? As-salam.
Yes, sir.
Welcome.
We have to come to the grips. It's a sad one because, one, the answer first, Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, inshallah, with Allah's permission, establish in yourself first, wanting for your brother what you want for yourself. Then establish it on a community level. Let all communities that are around you and surround you, that you want for them what you want for yourself. And can we come to common terms, to sure, and see, pursue that in the best manner we can. And so on and so on, to country to country. You know, we do the same thing. But first, it starts at home. It says charity begins at home. Don't think for one second that Allah, through his mercy, he's seen that we was in the nation of Islam, and our mentality was leaning more to the whisper of the slave master who had us beforehand, and start enslaving herself. Black on black crime, if you could go back a little bit and study, you study that in the development of what we call blackness and the relief that the Nation of Islam gave us, you know, it increased the freedom for amongst ourselves to start wanting to use what we call being smart, being intelligent, game, but we would start unknowingly or knowingly enslaving each other. And we're doing it today, even in our situation now. Because it's impossible to have rich Muslims of the community of Imam Warfi Muhammad, who really understood Allah's mercy in letting him teaching us al-Islam, that they are obligated. Remember, we have rights on each other. They are obligated to share the Arabia, to share the different blessings Allah gave them that will help those on the bottom ring become sustainable. Teach the man how to do that. But no, we are still underneath the influence because we are in this dunya mentality of haram, that it makes what the strongest, the fittest, the animal, dog eat dog. See, we all still have all that stuff in our life, and sometimes we still say it when we talk, if we listen to each other. We'll see that our language has not changed, so our intellect ain't changed regardless of how sophisticated it is if we don't try to establish a proper translation of the Quran and the life example of Prophet Muhammad in the language we use, like Imam Muhammad saying again. He said, y'all have a translation of this Quran. You have a translation now that will help the people in America understand and get the right image of what we are doing to each other. And inshallah, we will come together with the leadership of what we call the community of Imam Warfi Muhammad to be a model community of how to work our way out through sure with other communities. Specifically, first of all the different schools of thought here in America. We're supposed to have sure with our Muslim brothers and say, hey, what's the problem? You know, you're going through all the development of the shaitan. You think you're better than each other. You think you're better than us. Blah, 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 blah. You want to sell us something. You want to sell the public alcohol and drugs and things. And we pick up on it and we do it behind the scenes. Because I remember many times I've been in the Muslim establishment and they're selling haram products. But our love for each other, shaitan is using our love for Allah and the love that he has waking us up to after going through such a terrible, horrible experience of hatred. Of one human being hating another human being, and then him making house Negroes hate the field Negro, make the field Negro hate the house Negro, you know, into our own little ethnic, using that dying language, community. But he's done it to everybody. We know that self-hatred was the number one problem, and still the number one problem in the world today. Though they have an option. They can be a law servant, or they can serve themselves, or they can serve the shaitan. But they have to be ready for the consequences. And like Brother Imam Kareem just said, you know, we have to make sure that we establish this model example of coming from a slave mentality, a slave desire and appetite, to being what Prophet Muhammad said, and that is to want for your brother what you want for yourself. And make sure right. that those who live amongst you in Allah's refuge, called al-Islam, be established like that, or either halal. Just want to say that.
Alhamdulillah, Muhammad. Appreciate it. Appreciate it. You put a lot on the table there. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. All
I'm
right.
not wet, but.
Yes, sir. So, Michael, please, we have any other callers? Would you like to make some comments?
Yes, sir. We don't have any callers. At this time, we invite those who are on the line to press one to come into the conversation. You know, the kind of conditioning that African Americans experience from the chattel slavery experience to the documented terrorism to keep Black folks in their place that was documented by Ida B. Wells and others. Caucasians as well. You know, the book 100 Years of Lynching was not produced by black people, but it was produced by Caucasians. And we've had, you know, the help in terms of dealing with this issue. And lastly, every issue that we're having currently, if we look back from the days of chattel slavery up to today, we'll see an ongoing connection. Gun violence. The guns were utilized in the establishment of the United States of America. Guns were used to hold the Union together. And there are those Second Amendment practitioners or those who stand up for the Second Amendment. This idea of the right to bear arms is also connected with those arms being utilized to put down slave rebellions, to keep those under chattel slavery in their place. You know, as we mentioned earlier about the terrorism utilized after slavery. And, you know, you can cite for yourself the various mob violence that was utilized to put fear into African Americans. But it also had the effect of having those free slaves, free men and women, stand up. In 1829, there was mob violence perpetrated on those African-American free men and women in Ohio, I think it's Cincinnati. And it was so violent that they drove the blacks into Canada. But out of that incident and incidents like that, the development of the colored convention movement that lasted for 70 years from 1830 to 70 years from East Coast to West Coast. So Allah put in us as African Americans, as black people, Allah put in us the nature to resist enslavement. And we have a lot of that going on now, as Professor mentioned, slavery of varying types, not only physical in terms of human trafficking, but also the enslavement of men and women to ideas. And I'll stop there.
Yes. I think that's so profound that we have these vices that also enslave the human being, you know, gambling and these things that are mentioned in the Quran that are forbidden, gambling,
intoxicants.
Yeah, intoxicants. That's the one I was trying to reach. Now that those specific things that are forbidden in the Quran, how they actually enslave the person and following your own desires, Allah talks about that in the Quran, that you, however you feel, you're going to just follow your own self as a rule for behavior. So Professor, please, I heard you over there. Go ahead and share with us something.
This is so interesting that, you know, Michael was talking about the history of these riotous type of people.
because they had the freedom to charge their wrath. Our people, please. There are still pockets of these people that are still doing the same thing. Follow Quran. The Quran says in the book, it speaks about show them the hadith, show them the iron. Oh, I have iron. I have iron, and I have an abundance of iron. And I want them to know that lives are sacred. Almighty God says you have several your brother's reputation, your life, your family's life, your property. Defend it and rely upon Allah, because Allah is with you. He's with you. He's closer to you, even closer to you than your jugular vein. So why do we make a god out of fear? Fear becomes our god, Allah.
Yeah.
Fear. See, this is what anger. I shouldn't say it does anger me, but I try to keep that under control. Hear people always complaining about how they lynched their son, at their daughter, this and abuse and break into their home. That should never even cross the mind of people. When they know that this is a Muslim community. These are Muslims who will not accept oppression, any form. And they're not. God is not death. God is life. Okay. Hayya al-salat. Come to prayer and come to life. These are some of the things that we talk and discuss these issues about enslavement. And really, this is how many in the old world were always fighting, trying to get workers or slaves to do their work to develop their economies so that they can develop material wealth and military wealth. Military, you can see what's going on now throughout the world. Have a competition, the most destructive weapons. Don't worry about that. All these people who are talking about they're on the verge of a third world war and nuclear power. Man, let me tell you something. All smoke screen. And nobody's going to do nothing with no nuclear weapon. Believe me. They love life more than anything else. Okay? Put that, don't even worry about that. The same way with these militarily equipped, worry about that. Live a life that follows Muhammad the Prophet and on. You just live a good life and enjoy your life and work hard. So we have a community life that does not accept oppression. Okay, so that's a one solution to enslavement. We won't accept debt either. Can't put us in debt. You can't scheme us a government cultural. Educational business environment. You can't contain us with that. That's what we develop. We develop our tools to get to not be enslaved.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Let's take a break. Let's take a pause for the cause right here. I think it's a good time for that. Professor's done put debt as one of the enslavers on the table. Appreciate that very much. Don't touch that dial. You're listening to American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected, your voice protected. This is Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We are talking about Al-Islam's position on slavery. We'll be right back.
See the full picture. Fill the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
Insha'Allah, when I grow up, I'm going to join CWSC. I'm going to help remake the world for you and me. I'm going to be part of MCNRD and contribute my talent, my expertise. I'm going to apply for a CWSC scholarship someday in honor of a pioneer. I pray I grew up to be a leader, a strong woman, courageous with no fear. But until that day, I need you to stand in my place and be part of the group intellect until I can join the race. Visit CWSC.us because together we can remake the world.
And we're all back right with two repeat callers, Imam.
All right. Let's go to our callers. So callers, be brief. You're repeating here, so go straight to the point, please.
Yeah, I just wanted to say about the I'm from Ohio and from the Cincinnati reference and things like that. We still had to look at the basic reason for all this stuff. It's halal haram the way we know it. But it's about controlling your products. See, Kentucky thing in Cincinnati was more about alcohol and tobacco, and they no longer they was losing the believers there in Cincinnati and Kentucky from wanting to grow the tobacco, and a lot of them owned their own farms and wouldn't let the Caucasian industry there take it back from them, you know, and it led up to that. But the same war about anywhere, we have to go back to the earth because this is what people were fighting over. Shaitan do not want us to take what Allah has given us in creation to establish worship to him and him alone, because Shaitan will lose and expedite his ending. So they always go to prophecy. Until we control our own land, our own building of what we're going to build, etc., then there's going to always be those type of build-ups and flare-ups and wars. But we are also taught to fight oppression, like Imam Kareem said and Brother Professor said, you know. So we have to figure out how we're going to fight anybody on any level if we're not controlling our resources to make sure that we can back our soldiers, back our believers, back the faith on whatever level it might have to express itself in defense. Just want to say that.
Yeah. And for sure, having our own sources of income, food, products, et cetera, we definitely have to be more attentive to providing our own needs and feeding our own communities. I mean, that's just vital. It's vital that we have more control over our resources. Thank you for sharing that. Mike, our next caller, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
I
got something with hip hop. Let me share it with you. If it's arbitrary, our concern must be firm. Now we got it. What are we going to do with it? I remember scratching from the Quran and the lifestyle of Prophet Muhammad is indeed a benefit. It wasn't easy for the country to relieve itself of the institution of slavery. Bad in literature of what happened could never make it a mystery. Most of our people are living a life of misery. The Temple of Islam came as a plan to prove that though we have been lost from self, one day we'll be talking about financial literacy and generational wealth. Professor Farad believed with all his heart and being that we will rise in a world of illusion, of lies and deception. God's plan is death. impose situations sometimes, but do the best human being. The social reformer's son, Imam W.D. Muhammad, wisdom is on the scene. A lot of hurt is intended to wake up our conscience. Common sense to become our friend. We are here to wake up the conscience of many. Our Imam showed us how to make it in the land of plenty. We should not be enslaved by any kind of arrogance or selfishness. Haven't we been blessed with God consciousness? Our Imam humbled himself, made prostration in his soul to God, sharing what he knew. God made him the person he was, and that was what he took great pride in. Father Abraham, Allah took him as a friend. He carried that more than anything else. God don't want us to live in poverty. Let's build an institution we need. Allah is helping us. And Imam Muhammad, we should totally trust. When a business person coming out of a neighborhood, out of community to be of service and do business, those who don't understand the process, stop setting up in there and just throwing stuff in the midst and confusing what's going on. So what you do, you be hindering the process of the masjid and the community at large. So stay out of that kind of stuff if you don't understand it. Praise be to Allah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Professor, let's target in on how captives of war and how I remember we had the conversation about education tied to and freeing the slaves.
Right.
Share some information of that with us, please, as we move forward.
You know, the strong purpose, all our efforts is education. Education that was promoted by Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. During his time, he left Mecca to go to Medina to establish a community life in Medina. And what it was is that he was being pursued, and he had declared war on Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, and the Muslims who followed him. And the first battles was Battle of Badr. And during that battle, there was some prisoners taken. After the battle, he declared that those who were taken prisoners could that would be freed if they were to teach the believers who followed Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, to read and write. So that was one of the conditions for freedom of who had been captured in war. Teach a believer how to read and write, because education was one of the fundamental elements that Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, although Muhammad the Prophet, known as the Ummi prophet, unlettered prophet. He began what is known as a public education. Public education.
Yeah.
That meant that no longer does the monarchs and the religious people have a hold on education, and the common people will never get the opportunity to be educated and go to school. Now everyone is free. Once you get an education, you become more free.
Yes.
Well, as
you know,
Yes,
I wanted to share, you know, that a little background on that particular aspect as well. The people who had resources, they were able to purchase their freedom out of captivity, because the Muslim had all these prisoners of war. But then there were some people that didn't have the resources to purchase their freedom from captivity. And the Prophet made that permitted for them if they would educate a believer, person, one of the community, member of the community, they could gain their freedom by teaching someone to read and write. So just circling back on that first commandment, Ikudar, read in the name of your Lord who created. That particular aspect and serving that principle, they were able to get their freedom from captivity. So, it's such a rich history of how Islam has worked to encourage freedom for all forms of slavery, all forms of slavery.
Now, when you look at the other religious organizations, other religions such as Christianity and Jewish religion, don't have that type of concern concerning slavery.
Yeah, focus concern. Focus concern, yes.
Exactly.
You know, this is what we're talking about, is a focus concern.
Exactly. Yeah. So when you're talking about the Atlantic slave trade, those Muslims who came from the west coast of Africa they were singled out as people who would cause a revolution, because in Haiti
troublemakers.
Yes, that's a good word, troublemakers.
Good trouble, like our friend like, John Lewis said, make good trouble.
Yes, good trouble. In Trinidad, the Mandingos, a tremendous uprising and freedom seeking. Same thing. Muslims were the ones who were at the forefront of the Maroons up in the mountains and establishing freedom. And to this day. Then you have the people in Haiti came under the influence of Dudi Bookman, who inspired the revolution in Haiti. You don't hear that. You always hear about Lafont and other Haitians. They never mentioned Dudi Bookman. You can Google Dudi Bookman. They call him Dudi Bookman. It was a play off of Dirty Bookman. The imam, Dirty Bookman, and the Jesuits forbid all the Haitian slaves from going down into the area swamp where they had him, where he was housed, because they would always get knowledge from him to free themselves and because he was teaching out Islam, free human life, and so yeah. that encouraged the Haitians to strike out at the French, because Dudi Bookman came from an environment, the British slavers, and the British couldn't do nothing with him. They gave him over to the French, because the French were more brutal, and they had mentioned, and they had changed his name and called him. He had the Dirty Book. Dirty Book was the Quran that he was teaching. They call him Dudi Bookman, as a playoff of Dirty Bookman, you know. So
yeah.
these are the things that our people and many people throughout the world knew, that we're always a people of to emancipate, bring about freedom, justice, and equality.
Yeah.
And it's because
yeah.
of Al-Islam the world has adopted these legislative laws to outlaw slavery.
Yeah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And I'm a witness in my own life that this religion, Al-Islam, freed me, brought me to better conditions for governing my own life. Yes. So
right.
I'm a witness to that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So Michael, please share something with us from your perspective, if you would.
Yes, I'm looking at the makeup or the tendency to be moved emotionally that still remains as a issue, a problematic issue for African Americans. And when the movies and other productions or people like Governor DeSantis makes comments, ridiculous comments in the face of all kinds of historical facts, you know, in terms of how, and not just ridiculous, but arrogant comments, it has a tendency to incite or to stir up emotional feelings, you know, and anger, which Prophet Muhammad, prayers and peace be upon him, told us, conversation with a person, don't become angry or to check your anger. Be aware of controlling your emotional, your emotions, your feelings, because people can, I'm going to say it this way, you know, we can be enslaved by these feelings, by these emotions. And it have a tendency to cause us not to think clearly. The stirring up of feelings oftentimes stirs up chemicals in the body that don't help us to think well. In fact, they do just the opposite. When cortisol is produced in the body of anyone, it produces an effect where the blood that's necessary to flow to the frontal part of the brain that is using the occult or what is called the intellect, you know, that blood flow is cut off so that the person's limbs, the legs and the arms, can get more blood flow for fighting or running away. And this is science. And we have science working against us as everyday folks, human beings. We have science working against us that is inviting us to enslave ourselves, you know, to enslave ourselves to weak ideas, to passions, and urges that don't serve our best interests. And I'll stop there.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Michael. Thank you so much for that. You know, our religion is so rich in its language to help to aid the human being. And the principles of Al-Islam, the things we have, the mighty five, as we started off talking about earlier on Imam Kareem program, the Imam brought the five senses as one of the things that we should be using, you know. And I did get an opportunity to share, Professor, from our business model concept. We want our products to be things that we can smell, taste, feel, see, and hear. You know, that these are the things we invest in. That's what we want. We want things we can touch, hear, taste, smell, and hear. So for all of the five senses and see, all of the five senses be involved in that. But this religion is built on five. And each one of those pillars of Al-Islam comes to free the human being, comes to free the human being. Tawheed, one Lord, one Creator, Prophet Muhammad as its messenger, frees the human being. Because what is one of the major problems in this life is a concept, a false concept of the Creator, that the Creator can be a human being and could have, and also can be three. Human being, spirit, and Creator of everything, all in one. And that's not good. We can be that as a creation. We can create things on a small level, but we can't create this universe or manage this universe, all of these big objects that we see out in the universe, hardly ever coming in conflict with each other unless Allah wills it to happen. It's moving in space, controlled by powers we can hardly imagine. And, you know, in our system of prayer in Al-Islam, where we pray five times a day. And, you know, when you establish the prayer, you don't have a lot of time to get into trouble. You know, you have, maybe in the morning, you may have a nice little spell where you can maybe fight with the devil between Fajr and Duhur prayer. But after that, you be on a clock. You have a few little time before you have to be back to prayer again, asking for forgiveness. And the charity, we talked about zakat as the economic system, you know, this concept of charity, giving in, being charitable to others, being given in your spirit. And then, of course, fasting, that discipline that comes from that, where you are sacrificing your own natural appetites to eat, and you're obeying God during that month of Ramadan. And then that Hajj, so important when we look at that universal concept where people from every direction come to the Qibla and in obedience to Allah and the Sunnah of Prophet Ibrahim, alayhi salam, that he established the pilgrimage. So when you go, you see all colors, all nationalities. It really forces you to question your racist ideas about humanity being different and separate, having to be separate. You know, these concepts that the Mighty Five in Al-Islam can free you. That's the point I wanted to make. Professor, go ahead. I heard you in the background there.
I was just listening to Michael when he was talking about the governor of Florida. And since I used to live in Florida, I observed this person. He was running for governor, and while he was governor, I see that he sees that if he followed the path of the former president, the methodology of attracting voters that would secure his position as a person the head of the state and head of the country, you know, the America, he would get that ability to win the elections that he seeks out. And I just noticed how he never has any original thoughts. He wants to be a gangster, but he's never lived a life. He's not old enough to live a life of a gangster. Never been in that environment. He tries to use those methods to track, you know, people who are aging, see that their lives have been wasted, really. They have nothing to cling to other than their own skin color and that memory when they had full reign over all aspects of the government and economy. So he lost contact with the way in which Allah changes governance, gives those who are empowered today are not going to be empowered today or tomorrow. And the ones who were put down, placed under the shoe of many people, now rising up in every aspect of daily life, judicial, a lot of the judges have become people of ancestors of slaves, people who are who are changing the course of different fields of endeavor, such as sports. John Sanders, who constantly referring to God, constantly. Well, God put me this. God gave me this. God gave me the ability. God gave me this. I'm trying to make good men, not NFL players, but good men. Only a few are going to be. He tells the truth. He said, I'm the only one that tells the truth to the players. I see that goodness is on the rise, just like Imam Muhammad had mentioned several years ago. He said goodness is on the rise. And we thought that was kind of strange because of all of the that were going on in society. But when all the things that we know in society are promoted by the newspapers and the media, so we get the sermon of the media every day.
Yeah.
So and only one time Imam W. Muhammad would be on the radio, you know, in the first Sunday lectures, you know, once a month. He was his messages were profound, and actually most of the people in government listened to his broadcast, and they began to on language. I could hear the language in many of them.
Yeah.
Oh yes,
that's still happening too.
The freeing of slaves.
Yeah.
That's the freeing of slaves.
Yes. It's still happening.
And believe it or not, they're listening. And believe it or not, they're listening to every broadcast that we make.
I believe you. I believe you. We are definitely on cutting edge. We are cutting edge here, bringing up because this idea of addressing slavery and its authentic origin and et cetera, it's never, this is historic, really.
Yeah.
And I think we have to continue to share this kind of information with the public, put this kind of information in the atmosphere so that there'd be no mistake on El Islam's position on slavery. Yes.
If they want any other information, contact us. We're free to be free to give them to help us all, helps us all.
Yes. So let's Michael, we want to take another break here. I know we have Sister DePrita's program coming up this evening, and I heard there was another program in the works. I'm not sure what that is coming on after we go off the air. How much time do we have left, Mike?
It sits in my ear 10 seconds.
So we better end this program then, and inshallah, we thank everyone for tuning in to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. Tune back in to the Preacher Hadith program this evening, Islam Study at Islam Learning Lab at 5 to 7. I think she comes on now, so don't miss that.
Okay.
There may be another program coming up this afternoon, so we'll see if we can have that announcement done. So thank you so much, Michael. Close us out with prayer, if you would, inshallah.
Oh Allah, guide us among those you've guided aright. Save us among those you save. Bless us in whatever you give us, and deliver us from the harm that you judge. You judge, and none can judge against you. And those whom you befriend are not disgraced. Ameen.
Ameen. Peace and blessings, everyone. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.